Earlier this month, I got a list of five questions. And, you know, I remember several years ago, we could put out cards and I would answer the questions on Sunday night. And these are pretty decent questions, but they all center around the idea of discernment. So I want to answer these five questions. It's not going to be in a deep theological way, but in just general stuff that we could be equipped to give an answer. You know, that's what we're supposed to do, be equipped to give an answer of the what? The hope that is in us. And so this is really about spiritual discernment. I tell you what, in this day and age, these last days, it is something that we all need. So my main points tonight are these questions. I kind of made them into a more of a sermon format, but I'll actually show you the questions. And so the first one was this. How do I get discernment? How do I see God work? How do I understand that what I'm doing is the right thing? Well, how do I get discernment? Well, spiritual discernment only comes from one source of truth, and that's who? God. It comes from the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, a very familiar passage, it says, "But the natural man," or the carnal man. There's another verse that talks about the carnal man. "But the natural man," one who is not looking for God, one who is not saved, "receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." So you can't understand the Spirit of God, the truth of God, unless you have a relationship with God. "For they are" what? "Foolishness unto him." You know why? Because his thinking gets in the way. His thinking gets in the way, and his thinking negates any sort of faith. "For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them," because they are what? Spiritually discerned. This morning we talked about truth. And we can know truth. We can trust in the truth. We can seek truth. But you have to have the Spirit of God. And the only way to have the Spirit of God is to have him dwell in you. And the only way that you could have it dwell in you, him dwell in you, is to have a relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. So the first thing is, how do I get discernment? We need to realize that it comes from the Spirit of God. It doesn't come out of a book that some man wrote. It comes out of the book that God wrote.
Amen.
Because it comes also from the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, another familiar verse. I know all these things. But you know something? It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to apply it. It's another thing to basically give it an apt answer to somebody. It says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." See, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you cannot understand the Word of God. Because He teaches us all things. Now, something else you got to work at. You know, you can't take an instant Jesus pill or a Holy Spirit pill and then all of a sudden, voila, I know everything. That only works in the movies, folks. And it requires spiritual maturity. You know, Paul told the Corinthian church, he says, "Why don't you grow up and stop acting like babies?" He tells and he writes in Hebrews, he says, "Why don't you just get on the meat and get off the milk?" See, we, and unfortunately I think a lot of people live a superficial spiritual life. We're supposed to understand the deep things of God. And we preach on that too. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "But strong meat belongeth to him that are full age." You can't stay a baby Christian and expect to get the discernment that you need in order to live a godly life. It won't work. It says, but straw meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. See, that's the point. You know, if you don't lose your muscles, you lose them, right? And you turn out like me. Okay? But we need to use things. We need to, like, iron sharpen the iron. We need to sharpen the countenance of our friends. But we need to use this and have spiritual exercise. What did Paul tell Timothy? He says, bodily exercise, what? Profiteth not little. It says, but even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you want discernment, you've got to come to God. If you want discernment, you have to have the Holy Spirit say, come into my life and fill me up. Understand that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And start looking for God to work in your life by looking in His Word, coming to His church, surrounding yourself with people who are of like mind, and grow up. That's how you get discernment. Now, the other four questions come off of this. Discernment allows one to try the spirits. So the question is, how do you try the spirits on everyday questions or problems? I've said this before and I will say it again. Every decision we make is a spiritual one. We have a choice to either get closer to God, follow His will, or we have a choice to try to do it ourselves. As we mature, we find out that it's more of Him and less of me. What did John the Baptist say? He must increase and I must decrease. So, how do you try the spirits on everyday questions and problems? Well, the first thing is, why do I need to? Why do I need to do this? On every little thing? Yeah. On every little thing? 1 John chapter 4 verse 1 says, beloved, believe not what? Every spirit. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know, the Bible says that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In God's eyes, a little sin is just as bad as a big sin. A little action is just as good a test of faith as a big action here. And why do we need it? To test our faith to see if we're going to follow God or not. Why I want to? Why would I want to have God involved in every decision in my life? Because that's what the Bible says to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, remember that Paul is writing to a baby church. He's writing to churches that have a bunch of division in there. They had a bunch of immorality in the church. They had a bunch of spiritual problems in there. He says, you don't have discernment. He said, I am of Paul and I am of Christ and I am of Apollos. He says, look, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, he says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, it's talking about what do I eat? Do I eat meat offered to idols or not? Okay. Do I do that? You know, can I buy that or can I not buy it? That's a common place. We all need to eat, right? It says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You know, if you're cleaning your house, do it the best way for the glory of God. If you're going to work, do it the best way for the glory of God. If you're making a decision, do it the best way that God be glorified. It takes discernment. So why I need to? Because there's a lot of false spirits out there. And it just takes a little bit to let Satan get a foothold in your life. on something that's not. We could see the frontal assault. It's the sneaky attacks that we have to worry about. Why do I want to? Because everything should be done for the glory of God. How do I do it? How do I have discernment in all these little things? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 says, right next to verse 14, which we've already used, it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing what? Spiritual things with spiritual. You know, God has equipped us, the Bible equips us with everything that we need for what? Life and God. Everything we need for what?
Life.
Is that the small stuff? Yeah. Now, issue here is what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual discernment, but we're also talking about a spirit-filled life. God is either Lord of all of you, or He's not Lord at all. He's got to be Lord of every part of your body, every action that you take. That sounds pretty radical. It is radical. But that's how the early church was. And that's why they did all these things. And that, unfortunately, that's why we may not be doing these things right now. So how do I do it? By comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And the issue is what do I see afterwards? Well, I'll get the answer. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, it says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the what? Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Here's a question. If we have examples of Christians in our lives, which we should, they have to go down to the store. They have to go certain places. They have to do things. And if we're doing things that are totally alien to what they do, one of them's wrong. Because, you know, Ephesians 4 says that we all are what? One in unity of the faith, one spirit, one baptism, one God. So discernment allows one to try the spirits. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to come in your life, you seek God's word, you start exercising that ability, you're going to see the differences between right and wrong, the little differences. And you won't take the shortcut anymore. You'll take the God cut. And that's what we need to do. So, how do I get discernment? Well, I talked about that. Discernment allows one to try the spirits. That answers the question. Thirdly, discernment enables the perception of the proper use of the Word of God. The question is this. How do you make sure that you are not pulling verses out of the Bible that you have picked and not that God led you to? I'll tell you what, it's bad theology to say, oh God, help me. I'm in the index. That didn't work. That didn't work. But there's a lot of things that people, oh, I saw 16 on a sign and that led me to the 16th chapter of this book. Wait a second. Let's think about this. So here's the question about using the Bible. We need to use the Bible skillfully. Okay? Now, in order to fight skillfully, you need to know what? How to fight. You need to know who the enemy is. You need to know where your weapons are. And you need to go from there. But there are several principles here that we need to understand about these verses. I've been counseling with someone who has an issue with this. And I suggested a passage for them to read so they would get the answer. And then all of a sudden, phone conversation, well, this passage led me to this passage, and this passage led me to this passage, and this passage led me to this passage, and this passage led me to this passage. And I said, okay, what do they mean? I don't know. I don't know. And so I said, okay, let's talk about that. And so we went to the passage, the first passage I gave. I said, this is what it's all about. Now, God's kind of neat because he took to another passage, said the same thing. Said the same, and another passage said the same thing. Another passage said the same thing. So God's got not a sense of humor, but when he wants us to learn something, he's going to make sure we get it. Okay? So the first principle here is the principle of content. Does it make sense? Does it make sense for what you're trying to figure out? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of what? Any private interpretation. There's a lot of people that will take a verse out of context and say this, okay? You know, there's the one about not letting women drive in Acts when they were in the tempest. I say, we threw away everything and we let her drive? Nah. You know, how many, all were in one accord, and they make up all these things about this. Folks, what we need to understand is when we're using the Bible and we're searching the Bible, which we need to do for answers, and we come across a Scripture or we think that we're led to the Scripture, that Scripture is going to meet something. His Word will not come back void, which is another principle here. So, discernment enables the perception of the proper use of the Word of God, because we're using the Word of God, it should make sense for what you're dealing with. The second one is the principle of context. So this is not taking the verse out of context. Does it apply? Does it really, not only does it make sense, I may not understand it, but then the next thing is, does it meet the need that I have here? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this. It says, all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. And is profitable. Profitable for what? Profitable for doctrine. What you should believe. Profitable for reproof. I did something wrong. God's telling me that. For what? For correction. I've gone off the path. I didn't follow the instructions. Now I need to go back to the instruction book. For what? Instruction in righteousness. And what? That the man of God should be what? Thoroughly furnished into what? Every good work. Oh, there's that everything and all and all that other stuff. So you have the principle of content. Does it make sense? You have the principle of context. Does it apply to the problem? And then the next thing is the principle of completion. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, it says this. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. So, if you pick a verse out of there, and it doesn't do anything for you. Not right verse, right? In the wrong spot. Why don't you pray about it and let the Holy Spirit guide you? Because my Bible tells me this, it will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Here's another concept. God controls our life. That's the goal. His goal is to be conformed to His image. His goal is that we are transformed from glory to glory, to get more like Him. That's let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking, wanting nothing. So it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. If God leads you to Scripture, it's going to work. If you lead yourself to Scripture, it's not going to make sense. It's probably not going to apply, and it won't do what it needed to do in the first place. That makes sense? So, how do you get discernment? From God. Discernment allows one to try the spirits. Discernment enables perception of the proper use of the Word of God. And then discernment enables perception of who is guiding you. There's an interesting story in Luke chapter 9, verses 52 through 56. Jesus is doing his earthly ministry, and he sends people ahead to the Samaritans. And in verse 52, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of Samaritans to make ready for him. Say, the Master is coming. The Messiah is coming. Jesus is coming. Get ready. Okay? Get ready. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Okay? It wasn't where Christ needed to be. But you know, sometimes we try to force Christ into where we want to be. We want him to be. Okay? And then when things don't go our way, we kind of get irritated. Look at this. And when his disciples, James and John, these are spiritual leaders. They wrote books in the Bible. Okay? They're just like us. But when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Even as Elijah did, or Elias did. But look at verse 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Okay? You know, we're pretty smart people in here, but can we say stupid things? Okay? We're pretty intelligent, but can we do dumb things? Yeah, we can. Look at Peter. Okay? He says, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went into another village. Okay? So Christ said, this is not the plan. You need to be on page with me. Okay? So the question is this. How do I know the difference in God speaking to me, the devil speaking to me, or my own head getting the better of me? Okay? How do I know? Once again, it's a discernment issue. Okay? Try the voices. Try the voices. John chapter 16, verse 13 says this. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will do what? He will guide you into what? All truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Okay? Here's the test, okay? There's a three-part test here to talk about who's speaking to me, okay? First of all, is the person speaking consistent with the Word of God? If some voice is speaking to you, telling you, well, I can live with this person and not be married, or God made me a boy and I want to be a girl, the Word of God specifically comes against that. That's your voice talking to you, not God's voice. You know what's going on. Or it's the devil doing it. Doesn't really matter. You're either for God or you're against Him. So the first test is consistent with the Word of God. The second one is consistent with the will of God. The Holy Spirit will guide you into what? All truth. Ah, we sing this song. Where he leads me, I will follow. Okay? So when you start going down a path, you ought to say the prayer, God, is this the path that I need to be on? If that path is consistent with the Word of God, start walking down the path. If that path is consistent with the will of God, continue down that path. If it's not what God wants you to do and you're still listening to Him, He'll tell you to stop if you need to. He'll tell you to do, oh, the small voice in the back? When you get off the right, this is the way, walk ye in it. There's only one voice that we need to listen to, folks. God. God. And then the third thing is, it's consistent with the walk of God. So there's things in there that the Bible doesn't talk about. The Bible does, we don't get the clear feeling about the will of God, but the whole point about it is, would Jesus do it? You know, those bracelets, the what would Jesus do bracelets, you know, that's a great idea. The issue is that if we don't think Jesus would ever do that, then we shouldn't do it either. If Jesus would do that, we should do it. See, the Bible says, for him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. As much as it's with you, do good. As much as you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially to the what? Household of faith. So is there any time that you should not do good? That's consistent with the Word of God. It's consistent with the will of God, right? Is there any time that we should just basically say, I don't care, I'm just going to do my own thing? Okay? Doesn't matter if this is the devil's voice or your voice. Well, the Bible tells me in James chapter 1, every man sins when he is drawn away of his own lust. What? His own lust, and enticed. You know that statement about the devil made me do it? No, the devil gave you a choice. You chose to go down that path. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it what? Bringeth forth death. So try the voices. If you hear something that's not consistent with the Word of God, I keep on coming back to that Word of God thing. You need to read it.
Amen.
God's Word does not come with cliff notes. Yeah, I've been guilty of that in college, especially in literature class. I don't want to read this 400-page novel. I'll go get the cliff notes. It might work for college, but it won't work for God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable. All Scripture. Which means what? You need to read all of it. So when someone comes up and says, well, the Bible says that cleanliness is next to godliness. It's not in there. Or money is the root of all evil. Close, but no. Or this. Nope, it's not in there. But how can you say, how do you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error if you don't know the word of truth? How can you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error if you're not being spirit led? Bible says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the what? Lust of the flesh. There is now therefore no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus who walk in the spirit and not after the flesh. And then listen to what your heart's telling you. Now, here's a disclaimer. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Not what I'm talking about here. Talk about the changed heart. You know, good, you have some discernment here. But see, what happened was is that God took out a heart of stone and put in a heart of what? Flesh. He says, I'll write my law on their what? Hearts. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21 says this, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall what? Assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. So there's a fourth test. If you're doubting about it, don't do it. Don't do it until you get confirmation. It needs to be consistent with the Word of God. It needs to be consistent with the will of God, consistent with the walk of God, and there should be no doubt because we have confidence. Our heart condemns us not. We know exactly that we're on the right path. Make sense? So discernment enables the perception of who is guiding you.
You know if you're going the wrong way. You know when your parents told you not to get in the cookie jar and your path took you to the kitchen to the cookie jar. You knew that it was wrong. You know, it saddens me
that people who claim the name of Christ, who know what the Word of God says, go off and do it, get caught, pay the consequences. God, get me out of it. Nope. It's not going to work. Whatsoever ye sow, you're going to reap. Reap of the flesh, corruption. You reap of the Spirit to life everlasting. Last point. It's kind of fun, isn't it? Okay. Discernment, knowledge, and understanding are connected. How much time do I need to devote to the study of the Word of God to gain knowledge and understanding? I rephrase this question. Okay? I rephrase this question. You know what my answer is? As much as necessary to find the answer. Now, some people will say that might be obsessive. Okay? No. You need to do it as long as you need. I'll give you some examples. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Paul comes and he preaches. He starts a church in Berea. And it says, these, the people of Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They had discernment and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They didn't take Paul's word for it. They took God's word for it.
Amen.
That's what we need to understand. And until you get the answer, you keep on looking. You go seek godly counsel. In the multitude of counselors, there is what? Safety. Here's one. Job. How much should I want the Word of God? Job 23, verse 12. Now, here's one that wanted discernment, right? Here's a guy that everything in his life was going wrong. Here's a guy that was doing everything right. In fact, God said, have you considered my servant Job, one who loves righteousness and eschews evil? And then all these things happen. And then Job says this. Why? His friends come up and say, I know the reason. It's because you're a sinner. And then for about 30 chapters, there's this argument over whether or not Job sinned or not. And Job is saying, why? Look at what he says in verse 12. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. Ha ha! Spiritual maturity. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, who in here likes to eat? Okay? You know, we need to love the Word of God more than we like to eat. That's kind of extreme. You know, if we learn more about the Word of God, we might eat less, we might lose weight. Think about that. We're going to have a scripture diet. But the issue is the Bereans did it daily. And they kept on looking at it until they found the answer to see if those things were so. Job, in his calamity, was saying, I esteem his words more my necessary food. He just kept on looking. Kept on looking. Now he had some things to learn. I'll close with this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. How many ways? In all thy ways. Acknowledge Him. God should be in every piece of your life.
Yeah.
your decision processes, your choices, everything. He needs to be there. In all my ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths, and you will have the discernment to understand the right way and the wrong way. But if you don't try, and if you don't exercise, and if you don't start, you'll never get it. You'll never get it. And you'll read other people's books instead of this book, and you're going to come up short. Okay? The issue is, discernment is something that we all need. Do we need discernment tonight? You can ask God for that. He gives all, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. Amen. From the Father of lights, with whom there is neither shadow nor variableness of turning. So we need to ask God to show us the way. As individuals, as families, and as a church. Even as a country. It's like Chronicles 7:14 talks about that too. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, I just ask Thee with this time of invitation, Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, just to follow You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.